Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had 6 wings. With 2 they covered their faces, and with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, Here am I, send me. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw 2 boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked all night long and have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people. And when they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. So, have you ever found yourself in a situation where you were asked to do something that you thought initially you ought not to be doing with people that you probably ought not to be hanging out with, and engaged in an activity that you probably ought not to be engaged in? I mean, have you ever had that experience? And you're looking over your shoulder going, What? Me? What? You know, why are you asking me to do this? Yes? Right, Brian, yeah, sure. I feel like I'm reverberating here a little bit. It feels like it. Yeah, turn it, give me just a touch lower. Because I can hear myself inside my ears. That's a little unsettling. Thank you. So, if you've ever found yourself in a situation like that, you're in really good company. Because it's exactly what happens with Isaiah. It happens actually with all of the prophets in the Hebrew scriptures as their stories unfold. And it also happens with various characters in the Christian scriptures and here in the Gospels. At first, Jesus, this is a total setup in the Gospel of Luke. I mean, Jesus is on the shoreline and people have showed up. Did anybody notice why? Why is the crowd there along the shoreline? And by the way, this is the Lake of Gennesaret is also known as the Sea of Galilee. So, they're one and the same. Just, why did the people show up on the shore with Jesus? A flash mob for Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, good one, John. Yeah, that could be. But what were they looking for? A meal. Another good guess, right? I mean, this is the Gospel of Luke. What does Jesus do? He's looking for a meal, leaving a meal, sharing a meal, or talking about a meal. And as we see the scene unfold, it's probably going to involve
A big meal,
right? Lots of fish. But what is it, folks? What were they looking for? The author tells us, gives us a clue. Someone guessed at the early service, oh, they're looking for healing. Yeah. Yeah, someone was at the 8 o'clock service. Would someone like to tell us?
They were hungry for the Word.
The author tells us they came in search of the Word of God. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They are looking for a meal. And one of the really cool things about the story in the Gospel of Luke and its sequel, the Acts of the Apostles, is that they are fed spiritually and physically. You know, I mean, here's this catch of fish, and then later on, this huge crowd shows up, and guess what they're fed with? Fish, right? Some interesting connections going on there, but they're also hungry spiritually. You know, it's not just a physical hunger. And again, keep in mind, you know, that they're living in a war zone. Their lives are being dismantled. I mean, they're desperate for something, anything that's going to anchor them both to the planet and give them a sense of the presence of God in the midst of just total unremitting chaos in their lives. And so here they are with Jesus, and he completely sets Simon, who eventually becomes Peter in the story, says, hey, let me use your boat. Yeah, sure. Good. We're tired. We're not going to be using it anymore. Well, but you gotta take care of it, says Jesus. You can imagine what Peter's mumbling under his breath right about now, right? He's been out all night with his partners, with James and John. They gotta be exhausted. They've got nothing to show for it. You know, no fish. I mean, this whole outing has been a complete bust for them. So back in the boat, really? Are you serious? Says Simon Peter. Anyway, he gets in the boat. And he and his partners are not, specifically not, looking to be fed. They're just tired. So Jesus plops down in the boat. He starts teaching and then says, almost as an afterthought, hey, yo, just, you know, throw your nets out on the other side. Peter's like, are you kidding me? We've been out all night, and you're not even a fisherman, Bubba. What, you know, why would you even tell us to do this, right? So later on in the story, when Peter says, oh, get away from me, I'm a sinful man, he probably cussed Jesus out. I mean, at least for starters. Lots that were not told in the story, and so they get this huge catch of fish, and everyone's amazed. Now, Simon and his partners, James and John, all of a sudden Jesus has their attention, and as they're getting out of the boat, Jesus says, come on, we're going to go catch people. Once again, put yourself in Simon's shoes. He didn't have a clue. I mean, not a clue what Jesus is talking about. But, as the author tells us, they follow. And there's so much about the way that my life has unfolded that rings so true with this story. I mean, you've heard me talk about this before when I went through the process in the Diocese of Los Angeles for ordination. I thought I just needed a place to hide. And the idea of going back to school and getting a master's degree was as good a place to hide as any. And by the time it came around, as we were earning our master's degrees in divinity to be ordained, I thought, oh, this is just a cosmic joke. I mean, this cannot be for real. I loved the study. I loved what we were doing in seminary. But the idea of serving the church in a capacity like this,
I just didn't think it was on the, you know, on the docket. And so, and yet there I was ordained, and it was long after that, having subsequently been slammed to the earth, that I began to awaken to the possibility of actually serving the church as a priest. It took a while. And the whole time I thought, this just can't be real. And again, every story that you can find in the scriptures, both the Hebrew scriptures and the Christian scriptures, those who are called out by God in all those weird and wonderful ways that that happens, somewhere along the line, they all say, oh, no, no, time out. You know, this can't be me. And then as life unfolds, it turns out it is. It is. And not just you, but actually an entire community. And one of the things that we miss in our individual approach to life here in our culture is the communal nature of the story. Again, this huge catch of fish. Oh, it's a miracle. Well, it's more than that, folks. There's an entire community that's going to be fed by these fish, you know, whose lives have been compromised by the presence and the oppression of Imperial Rome. And now they're going to be able to get through the day, maybe even get through the week. And what you'll find as the Gospel of Luke unfolds and then becomes its sequel, the Acts of the Apostles, is that one of the ways, and in Luke's Gospel, the primary way in which God would order human existence is to gather as a community to take care of one another. And by the time you get to the Acts of the Apostles, those early followers of Jesus become are what you might consider communities of shared goods, where they gather all their resources. They're all kind of stories. Some of them are a little weird. A couple of people get zapped in the process, you know. But in the meantime, they gather all their goods into a communal pot in order to ensure that everybody's got what they need to get through the day. And those with more meager resources can be taken care of by those who have more. And that's how those early followers of Jesus came together. And then, as time went on, that idea of being a community of shared goods then expanded into the wider community. Oh, wait! We don't just take care of our own. You've heard that before, right? We're called by the divine to take care of others in the community as well. And so this whole sense of mission begins to unfold, and those that have been sort of drawn out by the community to serve in a particular capacity never, ever do it alone. And so, again, from our point of view, you know, say someone is called up, someone like myself, or now we have Veronica who's going, you know, through the process to serve the church as a deacon, and, you know, we would sort of quietly, or maybe not so quietly, I was never quiet about it, say to ourselves, oh, what, me? No, it can't be. Really? And what we miss in our individual approach to life, so embedded in our culture, is that this stuff always, always, always involves a community. We never do this stuff in a vacuum or on our own. And so, you know, Veronica, as she goes through her process, she draws on the resources of this congregation. She draws on the resources of other people, her spiritual director. She draws on the resources of those involved in the community. She's got a ministry team here at St. Peter's. I mean, on and on it goes. None of this is happening in a vacuum. And I want to encourage us to awaken to that reality. That's the invitation that Jesus issues. It's not just you or just you or just you or just you. It's us. And so, for instance, with that image of a community of shared goods that begins to unfold in the Gospel of Luke and then on into the Acts of the Apostles, you and I are invited to imagine, you know, what would that look like today? And it looks like a lot of things. It looks like the homeless shelter, taking care of folks in the community and using our resources in order to pull that off. It looks like the support we give to Fish, food for thought. It looks like circles helping families extract themselves out of poverty. And it also looks like community organizing. And this is one of the primary reasons that we're getting involved in community organizing here in the Northwest with churches across the board, regardless of flavor or denomination. Anybody that wants in on this, we're willing and looking to partner with. In order to become here in the 21st century a different kind of community of shared goods, but still a community of shared goods. I mean, that is the basis of community organizing. Now, I remember when I began my work in the church back in the 80s, we were still coming off the Cold War, and we would hear about things like this and go, oh my God, they want us to be communists. Right? I mean, we're always looking for a label, you know, some way to pigeonhole people. And so it's like, okay guys, let all that go and just imagine that this is how God would order the world. You know, that those who have resources like ourselves would make ourselves available to people who don't have the kind of resources that we have. And that we'll take care of our own. We'll take care of each other. Absolutely. But then, as the early followers of Jesus discovered, then God would have us simply extend that into the rest of the community. And so that's, you know, when you look at the front of our bulletin and you see our mission, vision, and the promises that we make to ourselves, and then you see those five marks of mission, that's what that's all about. And so anytime we get a big catch of fish, what do? We look for opportunities to share, is what we do. So, there you have it. I'm done. Yeah, so the people said?
Amen.
Thank you. All right.